This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. I think we have a better chance of Coach Dan figuring out what Satchel is before the Capitals figure out how to score and actually hold on to a lead. That's what we're figuring out. Joining me today, Coach Dan, as always. What's up, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing a little bit better than the Capitals are. A little bit of controversy after this last game.
Oh, gee. All right, we're going to get right into it?
Come on. Everybody's talking about it. We got to lead right into it. Big news, Sidney Crosby not playing game four after just a malicious hit, a hit that was intentional by Matt Niskanen. That's the headline, right?
I'm shaking my head. It is out of Pittsburgh.
All right, so let's talk about it. Sidney Crosby got was a part of a nasty hit in game three. He left the game, did not come back. It's already been announced he won't be playing game four due to a concussion. What's your take on this hit of from not just Niskanen, but Ovechkin as well?
Well, how many concussions is this for Crosby now?
Is this four? I want to say this is four.
I mean,
he missed the beginning of this season because of a concussion, right?
All right, so let's all take a step back from the hatred because Crosby is a Penguin. Because let's be honest, like, this dude played for like Nashville or pretty much any team in the Western Conference, there would not be as much animosity between him and Ovechkin. Yes, they came in around the same amount of time, but a lot of the buildup and a lot of the reason there's a lot of animosity amongst, you know, or a lot of the story between Ovechkin and Crosby is not just because of that, but because it's Caps and Penguins.
Sure.
And it's been that way for so long, you know, with everything that happened in the 90s. And so if he was playing for, like I said, Nashville or like St. Louis, or Vancouver, it wouldn't be as big a deal. Yes, the story would still be there because they were drafted right around, you know, within 1 year of each other. And yes, they're two of the best players in the NHL, but it would not be as big of a story as everyone has the opportunity to make it out to be. But in the end, you have to admit, Crosby is one of the best players in the National Hockey. I think there's too many incredible players right now to be like, he's the best. Like, did you see Connor McDavid's goal the other night?
I did not.
That his overtime goal was nasty. I mean, that was stuff that you see Ovechkin do and Crosby do, and I mean, it's ridiculous. So there are so many talented players now that you can't. I just think it's stupid to go out there and be like, he's the best ever, like Mike Milbury, best player in the world. There's so many talented players, but I've gotten completely off topic.
But at the same time, you do have to say Sidney Crosby is one of the best to ever play in the NHL. I mean,
oh yes,
two Stanley Cups, two gold medals, a World Cup trophy.
Okay, shut up with the last one.
That's true.
World Cup trophy, you dork,
and a World's Championship. He's like the Grand Slam winner. He's won everything.
Anyways,
it's true.
No, but see, the point is it's a team sport. So, yes, he played a big role, minus his first Olympic gold medal. Aside from the one goal he scored, he didn't do anything in those Olympics. That was the one play he made that was good, and obviously it won him the gold. But my whole point in the beginning was that at some point, no matter how big a name you are, no matter how good a player you are, you have to realize you are still a human being, and you will have a life after hockey. At some point, Sidney Crosby will retire. Whether it's in the next year or so or in the next 10 years, at some point he will no longer be playing in the NHL. He will still be a name. It'll still pop up at different places, especially around Pittsburgh. You know, I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see him get like a TV gig where he's, you know, on like talking about games, you know, if NBC's going to go after him, whatever. But at some point you have to wonder about this guy's health as a human being.
Yeah.
And at what point is enough enough? Going into that particular play – there's absolutely nothing that Niskanen could have done to get out of that. These guys are moving so fast. Niskanen clearly was going in for the hit. No question about it. He was not going in to cross-check him in the head. Crosby was in front of the net, and hockey is a contact sport, and when you're in front of the net, you're going to get cross-checked, you're going to get hit, you're going to get bumped, you're going to get moved out of the way. That's the reality of going to the net. Players are aware of this, and Crosby is very good. He's got very strong legs at staying on his feet, so you got to hit him hard. The problem was is that he was already going down. As Niskanen went for the hit, he couldn't avoid it. These guys are moving incredibly fast. It was an unfortunate timing, and that is how Crosby ended up getting hurt. However, Ovechkin did play his part, and if anyone wants to have an argument about what happened there, there is an argument to be made that Ovechkin should have at least gotten a phone call from the NHL offices.
Yeah, so, all right, let's discuss it. You know, you and I, that's what we're here for. The whole thing started, Crosby's going towards the goal. Ovechkin, with his stick, hits him in the right shoulder, brings the stick over his head, hits him in the head.
Well, here's – see, I was watching it again. Here's what – sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Even though I do that probably often. My thought is that Ovechkin's going – he sees Crosby's got a beat. Like, he's going to the net with the puck. And sure. Ovechkin's going to knock the stick out of his hands or just get – you see it often where guys are giving each other a shot with their stick in the arm, the elbow, on the legs, skate. A lot of times guys are taking a swing. It's not malicious. You're trying to throw the other guy off. It happens all the time in games. Every player does it. And this guy we're talking about just got hurt. Also did a cup check on another player in the NHL, so it's not uncommon.
He cut somebody's finger off, remember?
Well, okay, well, see, now if you phrase it that way, it sounds like he took like a scissors or a knife and actually like held the dude's hand down and like Pulp Fictioned him or something.
Well, he slashed a guy whose finger was on his own stick.
Mark Methot, I believe, of the Senators.
And like the tip of his finger fell off.
Also, how gross is that when you go back to the bench, you take your glove off, and you're like, wait, what? And then the finger tip like falls out. You're
Didn't I have five of these before?
What? Okay, it's the fingertip. Is that the whole – yeah, the guy goes like, what? Where'd that whole thing go? No, so it's not uncommon, and Crosby is perfectly guilty of doing things we just saw aside from that, but he gave another man a cup check in the middle of a game, and the guy wasn't touching the puck. So all the Penguins fans are out there going, oh, Crosby wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. He wouldn't cross a guy in the head. I don't think he would do that. And I don't think Niskanen was trying to do that. However, Ovechkin, I don't think, was intending to injure Crosby. He was intending to throw him off, and he should have gotten a penalty for slashing.
Sure.
No argument there. It wasn't the smartest play by Ovechkin, but he's not exactly known for his defense. Yes, his defensive play and the responsibilities he's been given have gotten better. A lot of people forget that Ovechkin, when he started in the league, played on the PK in his first season for a little bit until he kept like getting in the way of pucks. And they were like, stop doing that. You're going to get hurt. You're our only good player right now.
Now, a guy at my work who is a huge Penguins fan, he sees me and he goes, that's how you want your team to win a cup. That's one way of doing it, taking guys out, injuring guys. And I was like, it was not intentional. It happened. It's like it's a play, bada, bada, bada. And he was like, what about Ovechkin's slew foot? I don't think what Ovechkin did. Yes, they.
Why did he slew foot somebody?
With that Crosby hit, the two of them made contact.
Somebody slashed him.
No. There's also watch the feet. Go back right now. Watch the feet. Ovechkin.
I gotta go find it. Hold on.
Ovechkin and Crosby, they touch skates. And Ovi, that's what throws Crosby off balance.
If that was a slew foot, he totally like missed. Like that's not how a slew foot is supposed to go.
To me, it didn't look like a slew foot. That looked like Ovi was...
If he tried to do that, he botched it completely.
Yeah, Ovi and Crosby did touch skates, and it threw Crosby off balance, but I don't think... I think Ovi was just trying to make a play. He was trying to play a little defense, and he didn't control his stick, and he had it up too high, and he made contact with Crosby's skate. And I think that's what threw Crosby off balance, and I don't think it was malicious. I don't think it was intentional, and that's what... I think the same thing with Niskanen. Niskanen was going in for a cross check, wanted to hit him, Crosby in the numbers, and when Crosby was falling, his head got lower, and that's when Niskanen hit him with the stick, hit him in the face. Not intending to be the face, but it's just the height difference of the two at the time.
All right, I am watching a GIF of this right now. Okay, so Crosby's coming across, and very good play by him, by the way. He's got it in front of the net. Ovechkin comes in, and there's no slew foot whatsoever. See, the object of a slew foot is to drop the guy back and trip him. Ovechkin goes through the play, so we're already botching. He doesn't grab Crosby or make him fall backwards, so if he's trying to slew foot him, he's screwed up. His skate doesn't even move. It goes straight in, so there's no intention to trip him. Crosby's legs are out because he's going to get a better center of gravity, and he's going to be able to hold himself up, so it's going to be harder to knock off the puck
right, and
out from in front of the net. So, no, there's no attempt at tripping whatsoever. There is a slash. No question about that. However, the shot to the head I don't think was malicious. I don't think it was intentional. He goes into swing and hit him in there, and as he's coming through after it bounces off his shoulder, his momentum is still carrying him forward, which is why the stick thing goes again. It's an accident. I mean, the slash on the arm looks like it hits him in the arm and kind of the back. 100% intentional. Ovechkin deserved a penalty for the slash. Shot to the head, unintentional. His momentum is carrying him forward. Same thing with the trip. Oh, Crosby keeps his left leg out, and that's why Ovechkin's right skate and foot ends up hitting Crosby's. Completely unintentional. You could call it a trip in today's NHL. I don't think you call it a trip in the playoffs just because they're supposed to keep the whistles away. The referees have made themselves a part of the story in the playoffs, which they're not supposed to do. However, they also gave the Caps one or two last night that they probably should have let go as well. Mm-hmm. However, no, I think the slash of the shoulder was enough to give Ovechkin a penalty. I don't think he's aiming for the head at all. His momentum is carrying him forward. You can also see that Ovechkin is after he slashes him, he's pulling his stick towards his body and up, which kind of dumb because then you're more likely to hit a guy in the face who's a different player. But anyways, so I don't understand what he's doing there necessarily. The slash was – at that point, you're taking the penalty because he's probably going to score, and it's better to give them a power play than give up a goal.
Sure.
However, Niskanen, completely accidental. He's coming in. He's not even trying to hit him. He's playing defense on Gensel. I don't know how to say his name. I'm not trying to be a dummy. I just literally don't know how to say his name correctly. And just catches Crosby. It's completely accidental. Ovechkin's not attempting to injure. The whole thing is just I'm watching this over and over, and it's all just bad timing.
But like that's the thing. That's what's changing.
Ovechkin definitely 100% deserved a penalty.
That's the thing, though. That's what's changing a lot of people's minds, and that's what a lot of people are forgetting. You're watching a replay. You're watching it in slow motion. Those guys were moving, all three of them, incredibly fast and on ice. And in those split seconds,
it's a different form of travel, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
It is slippery.
When you watch it at full speed, it is not like Ovechkin, or it's not like Niskanen can see Crosby coming towards him and going, you know what? I think I'm going to cross-check this guy in the face.
I'm going to take that mother out.
Yeah, that guy that I know his family, and he knows my family, and we used to play together, I'm going to take that guy out. I don't think
that. How dare he play in this? No, it's complete nonsense. And I honestly, I know there's people out there, and there's that idiot writer in Pittsburgh who thinks the Caps closed door meeting after game two was to find a way to injure Crosby. Like, you are you a legitimate credentialed media person that you have the stupidity to make that kind of accusation? I'm not even say the guy's name.
No, but he's also the guy who was in the press room and asked Trotz if Ovi slashing Crosby was just a hockey play, and Trotz blew him off, and then this dill hole.
Oh, it is as much of a hockey play as every other thing you see where Crosby's cup checking people. You see players all the time that are getting a slash like that, where you take the penalty as opposed to giving up a goal. And the thing is, Ovechkin didn't even have to do it because Holtby stick checks him.
Now,
he pokes the puck away.
Right.
So Ovechkin actually didn't have to do anything. I still think Crosby gets hit by Niskanen. That was probably not as bad. He just gets like a shoulder-to-shoulder kind of hit. But no, it is a hockey play in the sense that other players do that play the sport of hockey. Should they do that? No. But everyone does it. But for this moron to make it out to be like the Capitals were intending on maliciously injuring a bunch of Penguins, it makes no sense. It's stupid. No.
This
guy's an idiot.
This dill hole, he actually
– dill hole. Yeah. I always like that one.
I know, right? After the press room and Trotz blowing him off, he goes outside into the arena and he cuts – a wrestling heel promo on his Twitter, and it is like this is being scripted by Vince McMahon. That's what it's as if this guy was a manager for heel Sidney Crosby, and that's what it felt like. This guy then writes an article, like you said, for whatever organization he works for about how the Capitals were headhunting. They had a closed-door meeting to discuss how they were going to take Sidney Crosby out. The fact that that got printed online, in newspapers, whatever, that dude should be held liable, and they should sue this guy for that terrible piece of news, because that is not a news piece, that is an opinion piece, and it's absolutely terrible that he would go out and slander the Barry Trotz and the team like that. There is no way they had a closed door meeting and said, you know what we got to do? yes, it's that Crosby guy. Yeah, we got to take him out.
Did you see the thing I retweeted?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. It must have been earlier today. It was from Dave Lazo. Lazo? He retweeted. It was like he said, breaking, I found the audio of the Capitals players only meeting after game two.
I saw this.
So goofy. No! These guys are not – that's the thing. This is not the sports in the 70s or 80s where these guys don't know each other and they hate and there's fighting all the time. I mean, there's fighting in the NHL. But these guys, a lot of players, they hang out or train together in the off season. So there's no intention whatsoever to try and do something, especially to a guy, a headshot like that where you are potentially changing his life.
Yeah.
Like this is not a thing where you're taking him out, oh, well, he's out of the playoffs because he hurt his foot. Like this can change him as a person.
And
as a human, we have seen so much of this in the NFL with players who have concussions after their career where they don't even like they'll drive somewhere and not know where they're going or where they've come from. And there's no intention whatsoever. Sorry. Sure.
No, you're okay. You're good.
No intention whatsoever by these guys to try and end another person's career like that. They're not. Oh, crap. I was on such a good will. Bertuzzi. And I don't think Bertuzzi's trying to end Steve Moore's career. Bertuzzi's just a jackass. But I don't know. People are blowing it up out of proportion. Yes, Ovechkin slashed him 100% deserved the penalty. Because he didn't control his stick and he got him in the head, he probably deserved – see, I don't know. Did Ovechkin deserve the game misconduct for that? Niskanen did not. Ovechkin, there's an argument there.
I don't think
it's suspension worthy.
I don't think it's suspension. I don't even think it was a game misconduct worthy. I think maybe a 5-minute suspension on Ovechkin's part. Yes. So
you have a 5-minute major.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. 5-minute major.
See, I agree with you. I think he definitely – it's definitely a slash by Ovechkin. I think because he catches him in the head, which, again, I don't think was intentional. The slash, 100% intentional. Like, he meant to hit him in the arm. He meant to hit him in the arm or shoulder and try to knock him away from the puck because you take the penalty as opposed to giving up a goal, which – again, he probably didn't need to do it because the guy was, you know, going to get the hope he knocked the puck away. But the head, see, the fact that he didn't control his stick and he got him in the head. Yeah, 5-minute major. I would agree with that. They gave him a 5-minute major. I'd be like, how could you? All right, that's fair.
And the player in Toronto that went low on a block to Ovi and sent Ovi flying, and Ovi left the game for the end until the end of the period. That player should have gotten a 5-minute major since the player he had contact with had to leave the game for a certain amount of time. So it's that's what I think about those two. You know, if a player has to leave the game and the trainers are saying, all right, let's go look at this later, then yes, that should be a 5-minute major. But if it was Ovechkin on the ground and Crosby was the one that slashed him and Malkin came up and cross-checked him in the face, we would all be very ticked off that no one got suspended.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's fair. I mean, you're correct. I have no argument there, Brandon. You are 100% correct in the fact that had that happened, yes, Caps fans would be like, what the fuck? And like throwing stuff and like tables would be flipping over and that'd probably be the extent of it. If it was like University of Maryland, like couches and cars would be on fire.
Yeah.
Route 1 would be a war zone, but that's besides the point. I can understand why Penguins fans are pissed. They have every right to be, but it was an unfortunate series of events that I don't think there was any malicious intent to actually injure Crosby. They were just – Ovechkin was trying to take a penalty or just get him off the puck. But it happens all the time. And anyone to go like, that's a cheap shot. Yeah, plenty of people do cheap shots. But there's no intent to injure whatsoever. Now, and he's not even the only one that got a concussion. Now, it wasn't the Caps' fault that the other guy, that Connor Sheary, got a concussion.
Yeah, that was friendly
his
fire.
His own player. Let's give credit to Lars Eller for looking up and going, nope, and just skating out of the way.
That's true. And
Hornquist leveled Sheary. And, like, I don't know what Hornquist is doing there. Like, that was, like, he's clearly, he actually starts, I'm watching, there's another same thing from Russian Machine Never Breaks. They have another gif of, Hornquist realizes pretty quick, now again, they're moving very fast on ice, but he realizes pretty quickly that he's not getting Eller. Like, Eller's like, no thanks, just gets out of the way. And you can see him being like, he kind of still reaches out to hit him and then clocks Sheary. If he had turned to the left and tried to go the other way since he knew he wasn't getting him or just hit Sheary straight on, I don't think he clocks Sheary with his elbow. If you're Hornquist, you're buying Sheary dinner for a while.
For, yeah, a good amount of time.
Because you just level that dude. That was a hell of a hit, though.
Now, before we move on from Crosby, last question I have for you. This isn't for... we talked about this at the beginning of the season this year. Not as a hockey fan, not as a Caps fan, not as a Penn hater, as just a human being, could this be the last time we see Sidney Crosby on the ice? Because how many concussions can you take?
You said, what, four now?
Well, it started off with Steckel, and then he kept coming back and away, and they found out that was something wrong with his neck.
No, it was Steckel, and then shortly after that, wasn't it like the next game or two?
It was
Victor Hedberg.
Yeah.
Hedberg?
I think so.
Hedman. That's his name. Hedman. In Tampa. Got him.
And then he was out for like a year.
That one was actually worse, and he was out for a long time. So then he had the one earlier. So, yeah, this is his fourth.
Yeah, but remember, he kept coming back and leaving, and then they found out, oh, it's not your head. There's something wrong with your vertebrae and your neck. And he had surgery, and then he was out for like another 6 months, and then he comes back, and then he missed the beginning of this year due to a concussion. Now this is a fourth concussion, second within the span of 9 months. I mean, that's Corey Graves, who is a commentator on Monday Night Raw for WWE, he got three concussions in a year, and they went, you're done. You're not an in-ring performer anymore. At some point, there's going to be a doctor who tells Sidney Crosby the risk doesn't make sense anymore, because as you get concussions, the more and more you get them, the more susceptible and the easier it is for you to get a concussion. So does he risk it and come back and still play hockey? Because, I mean, as you can see, this is a big-time contact sport.
I mean, everyone is different. So everyone, their concussions are different. I mean, my fiance's had two concussions. Actually, both are from playing soccer. And after the second one, she just won't play anymore.
Right.
Like, she's played maybe once or twice in a friendly game with, like, coworkers outdoor. And everyone knows, don't go near her head. If you're near her, don't kick the ball high. Keep it on the ground. You know, and she's still – I mean, this is – you know, it's been a number of years now, and she still gets bad headaches.
But that's the other thing, too. All right, so – because Crosby is known to have concussions, do you as the opponent treat him differently, knowing that
he, you can't?
Yeah, like that's the thing. How does another team do that?
Well, not the Capitals. Hitting anybody in the head,
right?
But
it happens.
I mean, that's the thing. Like if you even look at like TJ Oshie last night, and I don't know if it's as serious. Taking it depends on the shot, but like Oshie was just in front of the net, and the puck hit him in the side of the helmet or in the glass or the plastic shield or whatever it is. You know, if you're susceptible to concussions and head injuries now, is that going to do something to Crosby?
Right.
Or Sheary or any one of these guys. I mean, we just don't – the thing is, like, doctors don't know enough about concussions to know how dangerous it is. But we know enough to know if you have four of them, I mean, you at some point, someone's got to pull them aside and be like, dude, what about your life after hockey?
Right. And you see, we are just like you said, we don't know a lot about concussions. I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, we just started to like scrape the surface and realizing, oh, this could be considered a concussion. This could be considered a concussion. Because like you look at that Crosby hit, Ovechkin hits him in the back of the helmet. So that means like potentially his brain could be hitting the front of his skull. Then Niskanen hits him, and that means the back of his brain could be hitting the back of his skull. So is that one concussion or is that two concussions? We don't know. You know, it's something very hard to diagnose. It's hard to get back from them. But as a human being, I want to see Sidney Crosby be able to live a very long life and not be hampered in any way by concussion-like symptoms for the rest of his life. So, I mean, I want to see him compete, but at the same time, I want him to do what's best for his own mental health.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, like you said, it's about him, and like I said earlier, it's about him as a person.
Right.
And it's not about him playing hockey anymore. And it's unfortunate that a guy that clearly is one of the most talented players of all time is having these things that happen to him. And this sounds wrong because I'm not saying it's his fault at all, but you're playing contact sport. So injuries are expected to happen at some point.
Right.
But it's just it sucks he's a Penguin because like you kind of want to like the guy because he's just so freaking talented. But it's just unfortunate that a guy that clearly is a name for the NHL in a league that as sketchy of a league and as I don't know if I want to say biased or not of a league as they are, they clearly want to promote the talented players because that's the best way to get marketing and merchandise and money in the end, which is the ultimate goal, unfortunately, of everything. But it's unfortunate the guy that's clearly this talented, that is as marketable as Crosby, is having his career – I mean, it's going to be cut short. In the end, even if he plays for another couple of years, had none of these concussions happened, he probably could have played, you know, 4 or 5 years longer.
Right.
So, I mean, the whole thing is just crazy.
Yeah, so that's the Sidney Crosby section of our show. Let's talk about the Caps and the first three games of this series. I'm not going to lie to you. After those first two games, I really did think the Caps were going to get swept and that we were once again going to come on here,
that way,
do a show about how the Penguins beat the Capitals. But game three, they were to come out and win in overtime, mind you, no less. But
shocker, this team went to overtime. Crazy.
When the Penguins got that first goal with the last 2 minutes left in game three, I'm like, they're going to tie it up. There's no doubt in my mind. What is it about this Caps team that has the inability to put teams away and to finish games? Why do they take that foot off the gas? What is going through their heads to go, oh, we got a minute left. We don't need to worry about that. We're good.
We got this, guys.
Yeah, we're fine.
Is it almost they're complacent and they're just comfortable? And also another thing is, I think part of the problem is that they're just not winning freaking faceoffs when it matters. We saw that in against Toronto. And we're seeing that against Pittsburgh. If they'd won the faceoff, they probably control the puck for longer and able to dump it out, give the Penguins less time. They probably don't score that second goal. So they're having a lot of trouble over the past two series winning important faceoffs. And I think that's bringing part of it. I think some of these guys got a little complacent. They got a little ahead of themselves. But I agree with you. After game two, it was like, oh my God, this is just like went so bad so fast. And then now it seems like they're actually putting a fight. And not only with faceoffs, but they're also having trouble scoring goals. You know, they're getting good opportunities, but they're not taking advantage of these chances. And this team needs to start scoring. And they need some more help from the bottom six forwards. I mean, Jesus Christ. All we heard this season is bottom six. We fix it up. And McClellan came out and was like, yeah, our bottom six is going to be great now. Tom Wilson is the only guy playing in the bottom six to score a freaking goal. They didn't even have a bottom six. The last game, they had a bottom five because they only dressed seven defensemen. So, what the hell? Winnick, where did you go? You had a couple of good opportunities. What are you doing? Burakovsky, do you exist anymore? No. Eller, an early big goal scorer, so that's okay, but you'd be great. Beagle, same thing. Beagle, not winning faceoffs. What the hell, man?
It's your one job.
Oh, it's just they're making me not know words. They're struggling, and it's not good in terms of the little things like winning important faceoffs and taking advantage of their goal scoring opportunities and stop shooting into Fleury's freaking chest so many times. Now he made. I mean, that save last night, and we all know what we're talking about. That was a great save. But, and Fleury's made a bunch of good ones, but you're not exactly making life super difficult for him. Especially when you shoot on net and there's no one in the way.
What is it about Barry Trotz's system where he can't figure out to put a guy like Daniel Winnick or Tom Wilson in front of that goalie and to just get rebounds and get dirty goals? Because, my God, how many long shots are we going to take from the point and just have the Fleury kick it out or hold it in his chest and have that puck just go straight to a Penguin? Why isn't there a Capital player just parking his butt in front of the net waiting for rebounds? We saw this against Lundqvist and the Rangers, 2 years ago? We saw it against Matt Murray last year with the Penguins, Neuwirth against the Flyers, I almost said Phillies. We saw that in the beginning of the first round against Toronto. Why? I can see it. And I'm just a hockey fan who's never been on ice before. How does Barry Trotz not see all these juicy rebounds ready to be eaten up by a Capitals player, and there's no one ever there?
I don't know.
You got to give me more than that, man.
I don't know. I mean, you got to think that at least one dude is like, hey, remember Mike Knuble? Just go park my butt in front of the net.
We don't talk about Knuble. Oh, sorry.
I mean, it's just there's opportunities from the score. They're not doing it. That's one of the biggest problems. We saw that against Toronto. We're seeing that against the Penguins. And the Penguins are clearly a better team than the Maple Leafs. But the Capitals should be able to come out of this series much better than they've been doing so far if they can start taking advantage of their goal-scoring opportunities.
How does that goal, should be goal, from Kuznetsov not go in? How much snow is on that ice to stop that puck from hitting the line and not go in? I am still baffled.
He's at an awkward angle, too.
I'm just baffled.
If Kuznetsov, it's right, not on top of him, it's right sort of in front of him. And so he's not holding a stick in a way that he's going to really be able to get a lot of energy or momentum to take a shot. If it's out in front of him a little bit or off to the side a little bit, and then he's able to take a shot, that goes in the net, no question.
Kuznetsov, he's had an okay postseason. I expect a little bit more from him. Burakovsky has disappeared. Marcus Johansson, the three of those guys, I want to yell at them for a second. Shoot the puck. Stop being fancy and passing it to everyone else. Just shoot the friggin' puck.
That'd be nice.
I can't believe like how many times we're being fancy. It looks like Disney on Ice on there sometimes, and it's they're sending the puck. Everybody gets a turn with the puck before we shoot it. Make sure everybody touches it first.
Guys, I didn't get a chance yet.
Everybody gets a medal, whatever. No. You get the puck and you're racing down the side. Don't put the brakes on to wait for your reinforcements to come in. Just shoot the friggin' puck.
That'd be nice.
All right, so let's talk about the fact that Holtby got pulled in game two. Did you agree with him being pulled after the second period?
I did at the time. He wasn't playing well, and I don't think keeping him in there would have done the team any good. I mean, they were just so off on Saturday.
Everything was wrong on Saturday, and maybe it was Barry Trotz being a mad genius and knowing Holtby being pulled, he would be ticked off and ready to play in game three. Maybe he kind of knew after the two periods, well, this game is lost. Let's just get through this and let Grubauer play a little bit. It was not Holtby's night. He was not focused. I have no problem with him being pulled in game two. It wasn't there for him. Those shots, that shorthanded goal that the Penguins got against him, that could have easily been stopped by the Holt Beast, and he just wasn't there that night.
Yeah, he has had a great series for the first two games. Game three, he definitely looked better. I feel like he should have had Malkin's goal.
Yeah.
He was cheating over a little bit, and I feel like, I mean, it was all credit to Malkin. That was a hell of a shot, but I feel like Holtby should have had that one. But he's got to step up. I mean, teams that win the cup, or at least make a good run, a lot of it is because their goaltender's playing out of their minds, and that Holtby's got to do it.
Yeah, we've definitely seen that in the past. So, all right, looking forward, this is game four and at least game five. We know those two are at least happening. What do the Capitals do to make sure that they come away with a couple W's in the next couple days?
Score more goals than the other team.
That's very true.
You're welcome.
How do they do that, though? Because they're having trouble.
You're not going to have the same answer. You score more goals. You just put the puck behind the flurry. No. I think they have to keep keep their energy up. Take advantage when the momentum starts to swing your way. Crowd the crease a little bit. Make things hard for Flurry so he can't see the puck coming in. Or you have to bump him per se. But just make it difficult for him to find the puck. And make sure your defense is playing solid. And keep Malkin and Kessel in check.
Do you think anybody's going to be going after Niskanen in the next game? Or do you think everybody out there knows it was just a hockey play?
I don't know, because like by now you have to think they've looked at it and they've gone, I mean, it wasn't intentional. I mean, some dude might make a run at him or Ovechkin, but I mean, that's sort of a tough one because it clearly wasn't intentional. It wasn't like he wasn't boarding or anything. He didn't, trip him up and cause him to slide into the boards. Like by now you've got to think that the players looked at it and went, well, that's unfortunate. It's just kind of the way it played out. So I wouldn't expect him to.
Now, we do have two AHLers coming up, one for filling in for Crosby and another one filling in for the other concussed Penguins player from the last game.
Connor Sheary, yeah.
That's the guy. what do you expect from these two AHLers? Is there going to be a lot of fire to kind of be like, yeah, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm finally here, kind of like we saw from Toronto? Or are these guys going to be a little bit lost because they're coming in at such a late time in the
playoffs? These are younger guys?
Yeah, they're AHLers.
Well, just because they're AHLers doesn't mean they're young.
Well.
I think if they're younger guys, you're going to see a lot of energy, but I think you'll see some mistakes here and there. Just because they don't necessarily have the experience, and they let the sort of excitement of this situation get the best of them. And I think if the Caps need to take, and they didn't do this against Toronto very much, but when the other team makes a mistake, you got to take advantage because they're not going to give you a lot.
Right. I'm trying to figure out who they recalled. They've recalled Josh Archibald and Oscar Sundqvist.
Mm-hmm.
They look young. Ish. They're younger than me. I know that much.
Well, that's because you're old.
That's true. 24, definitely younger than me. The AHL level, he appeared in 10 games, scoring 3 goals. His first two came in his first NHL game of the season in Arizona. And then Sundqvist is 23. He hit the 20-goal mark for the first time and skated in 10 regular season games with Pittsburgh. So 10 games each for these guys. Up in the NHL, so they were been up in the NHL for a cup of coffee, as you would say.
Yeah, they've been around.
They've seen it before, but you know the AHL and the NHL are very different. I don't know if they can make that transition that quickly against this Capitals team.
I mean, we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how the Penguins can react to losing two of their top guys in the same game, and relatively around the same time.
Right. All right, so anything else?
That was a weird game last night.
Yes, it was a very strange game. Hey, but it went to overtime, so we felt right at home.
There you go.
And Shattenkirk, of all people, being the hero of Game 3, I tried to trade him on Twitter earlier in the game.
That doesn't even make sense.
I just said, is it too late to trade Shattenkirk? And I did get some crap from a couple listeners after he got the game-winning goal.
They're like, what'd you say?
You still want to trade him? Not at the moment.
Huh, Brandon?
But he has not had a good postseason, a good Stanley Cup playoffs at all. So for him to come up, hopefully
he struggled a bit.
Hopefully that's given him a little boost of confidence.
He struggled a little bit.
Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, so I do have to tell you this. There is Caps World. There is some KHL news for the Capitals.
Uh-oh.
And Ska received the rights, the KHL rights, to Nail Yakupov and Nikita Kucherov from CSKA, which I don't know. How do you say that? Is that
CSKA?
That's it?
I guess, yeah.
Kuska.
No, it's not a word.
Kuska.
Anyways,
in exchange for the rights to Marcus Johansson and David Musil. So next time there's a lockout, we know where Marcus Johansson will be playing.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for him. All right. Anything else we should cover in Caps World? We are all good.
I think we're good there.
All right. Go Caps. Beat those Penguins. Now we're going to take a quick break because, man, we talked for a long time about this.
That was a long one.
But, hey, it's the playoffs. What else do you expect? We're going to take a quick break, take a breather, and we will be back talking about the Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Still, Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, down in Hershey, the Bears were able to defeat Lehigh Valley in Game 5 and advance to the next round of the Calder Cup playoffs. They'll take on Providence starting on Saturday at the Giants Center, with Game 2 also in Hershey on Sunday. Unlike the first round, the rest of the playoffs are a best of 7. Still don't understand why the AHL does that. In other Hershey news, the Bears signed the Caps' 2016 first-round draft pick Lucas Johansson. and 2016 third-round selection forward Garrett Pylon to amateur tryout agreements. Would be exciting, actually, to see Johansson suit up for the Bears as they make their way towards another trophy. Hopefully this kid is the real deal, because who knows what the team's going to look like in the future with all the salary cap stuff going on. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays lead Florida in their best of seven second-round series 2-1. They won game one in overtime, lost game two in regulation, then won game three in overtime. So they really must be a Caps affiliate because they love them some OT. Game four is tomorrow being Wednesday, at the North Charleston Coliseum, with game five on Thursday also at home, while game six and seven are on the road on Saturday and Monday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Lots of playoff hockey all over the place. I think it was the last game the Caps had against the Penguins where it went to overtime. As they were going to overtime, the South Carolina Stingrays were going to double overtime. So everybody in this organization loves overtime for some reason.
They love them some extra hockey.
They love free hockey. I don't understand it, but okay. All right, that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. The Stanley Cup playoffs are keeping everybody busy. Even the Vegas Golden Knights are staying busy. I don't know if you saw their Twitter. They're building their own merchandise stand at the T-Mobile Arena right now. Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL?
Vegas, so stupid. Before we have the update.
I really thought they were going to win the draft.
Honestly, I'm sitting there, I'm going, watch, it's going to be Vegas.
This
be
is
Vegas.
So rigged.
So dumb. And they picked six, and I was like, oh.
All right, not rigged.
Interesting. Yeah, before we get an update on the playoffs, we can talk about the draft real quick, where the New Jersey Devils will pick first overall in the 2017 NHL entry draft. I believe the Flyers got the second pick.
This is the first time the Devils got it since, like, what, the mid-70s?
I don't know.
I think that's what they said.
I didn't see that statistic, but a friend of mine is a Devils fan, but apparently this draft may actually be kind of weak, so it's a little unfortunate. But I believe the top two players right now are a couple of centers, so it'll be nice. I'm sure Taylor Hall is very excited.
Ooh, I think we need to get Ming Chen back on the show right before the draft.
That's not a bad idea. We'll see if he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Let's get into some award news as the NHL announced that San Jose's Brent Burns and his beard, Pittsburgh's Sidney Crosby, and Edmonton's Connor McDavid are the finalists for the Ted Lindsay Award, given to the player voted as the best player by the NHL Players Association. The NHL also announced that Crosby, McDavid, and Columbus goalie Sergei Bobrovsky are the finalists for the Hart Trophy, given to the player judged most valuable to his team, otherwise known as the MVP. Hmm. Brandon, who you got? Who's getting the Hart Trophy?
Crosby, McDavid.
No, that's the – okay, so that one – he's getting the Ted Lindsay Award.
Yeah.
His beard, I agree. I think the beard should get it. Who's getting the Hart?
His missing teeth get the MVP.
He can just take the thing and put it in the guess.
Right.
There you go. Bobrovsky, McDavid, or Crosby?
I'd go Bobrovsky.
See, I'm going McDavid. Without him, the Oilers don't make the playoffs.
All right, I see.
I think it's Bobrovsky or McDavid, and this is not an anti-Crosby thing because this is a Caps podcast. I just think the Penguins are too good a team that even without Crosby, they're clearly incredibly talented. However, the Oilers, while being a much more talented team, I just think McDavid makes them just so much better. I mean, I think it's McDavid or Bobrovsky.
That 16-game winning streak in the middle of the season, that was a lot due to Bobrovsky. That's what I'm kind of thinking.
That's fair. I agree with you. It's definitely one of those two. Let's get into player news as Toronto signed defenseman Nikita Zaitsev to a 7-year, $31.5 million deal. Comes out to an average of $4.5 per year. Dude got paid. That is a lot of money. Chicago traded goalie Scott Darling. He's got a great last name, to Carolina for a third-round pick. Darling is scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent, and I believe there are no stipulations, so Chicago, no matter what, will get that third-round pick. Interesting move by the Hurricanes.
Interesting.
I was surprised they gave up. Usually you see when these guys are dealt and they're about to be an unrestricted free agent that it's like a sixth or seventh-round deal with some sort of stipulation that if they sign him, it's better or something like that. Right. Calgary signed general manager Brad Treliving, or I don't know how to say his name. It's interesting. to a multi-year contract. They didn't state how many years that multi-year deal is. All right, let's move on to the Stanley Cup playoffs, Brandon, where Nashville has a 2-1 lead on St. Louis. Edmonton, they're up 2-1 on Anaheim. Western Conference apparently is just, you know, keeping things nice and boring. Ottawa is up 2-0 on the Rangers. Suck it. And as we know, Pittsburgh's currently up 2-1 on the Capitals. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, where I'm talking all kinds of sports-related things, like the fact that the Capitals are struggling and Arsenal lost the North London Derby, and there'll be no St. Tottenham's Day this year, and the team sucks, and all that other stuff. And the Redskins had a good draft, which surprised, I think, everyone.
Are you surprised that Kirk Cousins is still with Washington? Because there was some,
I am.
There was some noise that he was going to, what, Cleveland or Cincinnati?
Browns. That worked out so well when they took RG3.
Yeah.
He's not going to. No, I think if Cousins goes anywhere, he's going to either L.A., or he's going to San Francisco. Honestly, though, at this point, I mean, Cousins is a smart guy. Everything he's doing, the right thing. Everything he's saying is the right thing, and I would not be surprised to see in the end he actually signs a deal here. But I think it's more likely he's gone after the season. But they had a good draft. They have a good offensive line. They signed re-signed Morgan Moses, which is a good deal. And we'll see how they do going into next season. So they're going to, you know, not be, I don't think they win the division by any means, but I think they have at least. They'll have a decent team. They definitely drafted well with getting a lot of defensive players because their defense struggled mightily last season. But, yeah, that's at WTP Coach Dan. But, Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment.
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and all podcasts we do here. Go over to Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there and also follow us on Twitter at WhatThePuckPod. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. I know this past week we have been lacking in Facebook posts. I apologize for that. But
how dare you?
I know, but whenever something fun comes out, we will post it on our Facebook and Twitter pages, and when a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. So, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show, write us an iTunes review, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I'm rocking the red till I'm dead. And I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's it for the show this week. The games until we talk again. Game, the next game is on May 3rd. That is a 7:30 start. That's the last one in Pittsburgh from the first four games. Then we're back in D.C. May 6th. That is Saturday, and that game is at 7:15 on May 8th. Game 6 to be determined when that will happen, but that will be back in Pittsburgh. And then we should be back with a new show before if there is a Game 7. So, interesting to see what happens the next week or so. We've kind of been doing that with Toronto and now Pittsburgh. We're kind of up in the air when we're doing what kind of show we're going to have to the next week. So
who knows?
It'll be interesting to see what happens next. So that is it for the show this week. Everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.